We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, which is entitled King Puranjana Goes to the Forest to Hunt. Text number 21. We'll speak a little bit on this verse and then for the last part I will say something about India, especially about the GBC meetings. Puranjana vacha nunam tvankrita punyaste vrityaye svisvara sube kritaha svatma sadkritva shikshadandam nayunjate. King Puranjana said, "My dear beautiful wife, when a master accepts a servant as his own man, but does not punish him for his offenses, the servant must be considered unfortunate." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to Vedic civilization, domestic animals and servants are treated exactly like one's own children. Animals and children are sometimes punished, not out of vengeance, but out of love. Similarly, a master sometimes punishes his servant, not out of vengeance, but out of love, to correct him and bring him to the right point. Thus King Puranjana took his punishment dealt by his wife, the queen, as mercy upon him. He considered himself the most obedient servant of the queen. She was angry at him for his sinful activities, namely hunting in the forest and leaving her at home. King Puranjana accepted the punishment as actual love and affection from his wife. In the same way, when a person is punished by the laws of nature, by the will of God, he should not be disturbed. A real devotee thinks in this way. When a devotee is put into an awkward position, he takes it as the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And then there is a verse from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 8. Tate nukampam sushumikshamano bunjana ivatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapurbir vidadam namaste jivetayo muktipade sadaya bak. This verse states that a devotee accepts a reversal of his position in life as a benediction by the Lord and consequently offers the Lord more obeisances and prayers, thinking that the punishment is due to his past misdeeds and that the Lord is punishing him very mildly. The punishment awarded by the state or by God for one's own faults is actually for one's benefit. In the Manu Samhita it is said that the king should be considered merciful when he condemns a murderer to death, because a murderer punished in this life becomes freed from his sinful activities and in the next life takes birth cleared of all sins. If one accepts punishment as a reward dealt by the master, he becomes intelligent enough not to commit the same mistake again. Om Agyanati Marandasya Ganyanya Shrakaya Shakshur Minitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Vishnaya Mutale Shrimati Satvarup Das Goswami Tinamine Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Vishnaya Mutale Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine. So here we are still with the pastime of King Prachina Barisat, who met Narada Muni and who requested Narada Muni to help him out of material life. And in order to help him, Narada Muni told the story, which is in one sense it's an allegory. In the other hand, it's it's the right story to be told to King Prachina Barisat, because this is exactly the way how he was living. And so although it's an allegory, it's very much reflective for the lifestyle of King Prachina Barisat to help him out of material life. And we see in this particular part that the wife of King Puranjana, she is angry at him because he went out hunting, and not just hunting as a kshatriya sometimes needs to do, but it was more, you know, hunting like in an extreme way, killing and for his own pride, for his own enjoyment, and also because he just left her, it just came up in him the desire to go and hunt, and he didn't consider his wife, he just went out hunting. So then when she came back, she was she was more or less unapproachable by King Puranjana, in the story of King Puranjana. And then King Puranjana, he took a humble stand. Of course, the reasons why here is also because he is very, King Puranjana in this particular pastime is very attached to his wife. So his being humble is there are mixed feelings there. But in any case, Sri Prabhupada takes this story and this particular verse to explain that it is the duty of a master to, when he has a servant who makes mistakes, to correct him, to even punish him, to guide him. But it should be a correction out of love. It should not be out of envy or out of lust or out of, like the word is used here, is vengeance. I'm not so familiar with that word, but vengeance, like revenge, take action against. That's not at all the idea. The idea of a master is that he is merciful. A spiritual master is merciful upon the disciple. If you see in the example of Srila Prabhupada, he was sometimes very strong in correcting the devotees, and Srila Prabhupada did it as a service. He didn't have, like sometimes we are, because we don't know how to handle our interior energies, sometimes, out of whatever happened with us, or whatever our mind is winding up for something, and then the first person we come across, then we unload we discharged our internal energies which we can't handle properly out of lust. basically. So, and then we discharge that on the person, you know, and then we overreact. Or we have an incident with one person, and then because we are still so much loaded, when we meet the next person, you know, we blast him. And because we still don't balance these things. So Srila Prabhupada was not at all like that. On the contrary, Srila Prabhupada could be very strong, and a devotee might even feel devastated after getting, you know, cutting remarks from Srila Prabhupada. But that's because exactly what the person needed, and also the devotees, when we hear these particular stories, then we hear them saying how merciful Srila Prabhupada was by cutting their attachment, their anarthas, their dark side of their personality, their dark side of their ego, by cutting into it, and in this way allowing them to make changes. You know, so. And then Srila Prabhupada, one moment he was very angry as a service to that devotee, and the next moment he was very, you know, very blissful, very relaxed, and very joyful. So, because he just acted according to the circumstance, whatever was needed for that devotee to get, he got, by the mercy of the spiritual master. So, and the same is with parents. Parents should treat their children and correct them out of love. As Srila Prabhupada explains, that the child up to the age of 5 years, he can be given anything he or she likes. But once it's 5 years, from 5 to 16, a child should get strict training and strict corrections, and even punishment if needed, again out of love. The child can also feel that from his parents, from those who take care of him, that when things are done out of love, and ultimately they will appreciate. And then after, when they cross the age of 16, then the parents or those who are taking care of them should be like friends to them. And then and in all these years, from 5 to, then usually from 16, then the period of 25 is mentioned. Because that's a time, 25 is like one becomes, and at that time one is supposed to be like an adult. And this period of between 16 and 25 is very good for education, from 5 to 25 basically, is very good for education, for learning, and in this period from 16 to 25, then the parent is a friend to his young adult and guides him, helps him based on the experiences. Out of love, there is a real reciprocation, and if we don't take care of this, if we don't follow this, if we think, oh, I want to be so good to my child, I cannot say no when it wants something, especially from the age to 5 to 15, or 5 to 16, then one may regret later. As there is that example of the mother who visits her child in jail because he killed somebody, and then the boy gave a sign. The mother came and said, "Oh, my boy, what happened?" And the boy gave a sign. The young adult gave a sign to the mother to come close, as if he wanted to whisper in her ear. And then when she was close enough, he bit in her ear. And then she was completely, of course, bewildered. And what is this? You know, is this my what I get. For, you know, I gave you everything you wanted at all times. I was so loving to you. Whatever you wanted was there. Whatever you desired, I gave to you. And the young man said, yes, that's exactly the problem. You gave me anything I wanted at an age that I didn't deserve, at an age I should have been told, no, this cannot be done. This should be done like this. One should learn, one should be restricted and learn the importance of some little austerity here and there and to become tolerant. If one doesn't undergo such training, then later one will miss that very much in his life, and that will turn back to, because then one has to, when one doesn't have the proper training in youth, then the difficulties in life are becoming more difficult. It's not that when one has a soft youth that it's more easy to go through life. It's on the contrary. It's more difficult because one has not been properly trained. So, and then Sri Prabhupada explains further that just as King Puranjana here, he has accepted the reaction from his wife, we as devotees should also accept anything that happens to us, and we should understand that this is the Lord's mercy. And that because I'm a devotee, I only get a part of what I'm supposed to get. In that verse from the Bhagavatam here, it is mentioned that Sri Siddhar Swami, he explains, it is just like a boy who has a father who is, let's say, wealthy, well-to-do. In due course of time, he will get an inheritance from his father. So when the father leaves, then automatically the notary will make the required papers so that the property of his father comes to the son. So Sri Siddhar Goswami is giving that example to explain that if we, as devotees, simply follow the process of Krishna consciousness and accept all the difficulties that come on our path while maintaining these principles, maintaining the chanting, the process of Krishna consciousness, rather than lamenting, why is this happening to me? And, you know, I'm such a good devotee. I chant every day my 16 rounds. I follow the four principles. So why am I falling with my bike in the ditch? You know, I slip over, whatever. Why is this happening to me? You know. So, simply, if we simply accept, even there is an, it's explained a little bit in that same purport, that these things are still happening, even if we are following the process of Krishna consciousness. It says, Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. So although we took initiation, our karma was taken away, etc. Still, it's explained here that the mentality with an enjoying spirit may still be there due to our past lives or even our past period of life in this lifetime. And in order to get rid of that, then the Lord is giving us some problems to overcome. And when these problems come, and we take even more shelter to the Lord, because that's the meaning of difficulties. Meaning of difficulties is not to turn our back to the Lord, and how can that be, you know, I'm such... But the meaning is to even more direct ourselves towards the Lord, and even more depend on Him, and understand the Lord's way, how He is purifying us, and training us to become His servants. Shri Radha Gopinath ki. So if we, as devotees, go simply through this type of difficulties, with this type of understanding, then it is just as Sridhar Goswami describes, just like the boy, in due course of time, when the father leaves the body, he will get the inheritance. So the devotee, in due course of time, who is sticking to the process of Krishna consciousness, and who is even, you know, taking more stronger the lotus feet of the Lord and of the spiritual master, then he promises that in due course of time we are eligible, we become eligible to go back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world, without any special further effort, so to say. So we'll stop here, and we'll say something about India. Yes. What? Ah, okay. So went to Mayapur for the annual meeting, and where the yearly GBC meetings are, and of course there is, since the last 4 years or something, there is also another in midterm year, in the middle of the year meeting, which is for the last several years it's in Mumbai, but this is what is called the annual GBC meeting, the main GBC meeting in Mayapur. And half of the time was spent on the organizational development. So there is a committee of GBCs mainly, and also some other devotees who are concentrating on trying to prepare in several aspects the GBC for having more effect, more relevance to the ISKCON world, and also trying to iron out certain stigmas, certain ways of doing, trying to make changes there. So there are different, it's one committee who is discussing the future, basically, of our movement. Because the direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they are concerned that, first of all, GBC doesn't always have the best name. That's one element. And secondly, also the first generation disciples who were directly trained by Srila Prabhupada are getting older in age. And we know what that means. That means, you know, sometimes it means disease, sometimes it means withdrawing from activity, etc. So this organization development tries with all the wisdom of the direct disciples of Prabhupada, try to make changes in the structure which then can go more strong and unified, looking towards the future. So there are like, in the next meeting, there will be like 75 senior devotees worldwide. They will be asked to give input in the GBC functioning. Because on one hand, of course, Srila Prabhupada's structures, that the temples, they are units by themselves, and that will remain, that will never change. But what needs to be changed is that there are active ministries and an active organization, so that the temples have sources of inspiration and sources of knowledge where they can tap from, and who will help the different temples in different projects, like, let's say, book distribution. And book distribution has, from 15 years ago, has dropped drastically. So there are reasons for that, of course, but at the same time, there is also ways to revive book distribution. The same can be said with congregational development, with Namahata, with organization structures, with protecting of ISKCON properties. Once in a while we see still today ISKCON properties disappearing in the hands of individuals just by lack of proper legal structure on the local level. So all these things need to be more reactivated from a global level, without taking away, let's say, the units of which are temples, preaching centers, etc. So that, for the last 5 years now, this is going on. And like 50% of the time of the meetings is spent into that. Also making more clarity, between the different, which is called parallel lines of authorities. Like somebody has a spiritual master and he has a temple president. To whom should he listen? To the spiritual master or to the temple president? Or to both? So, or no one, he says. That's not really an option, but so this, making clarity on these levels, making the process of making a constitution for ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada wanted that since 75, and 35 years later we are still, but at least there is progress. It can be expected that within 2 years or something, that there should be an ISKCON, worldwide ISKCON constitution. Some different discussions, and especially now that 75 devotees worldwide will be asked to give input in one of these areas, and so there is expected to be more progress on that. So that was, 50% of the meetings. Then there were some other areas. There will be 4 new sannyasis will be appointed this year. from which one who was like appointed immediately from not being on the list to immediately be made sannyas usually takes 3, 4 to 5 years. There's one devotee, Devamrita Prabhu, who is a disciple of Radhanath Swami. He was temple president for Vrindavan. So when there is a 4th, 5th vote on somebody, then he is allowed to take sannyas immediately. So he got like a 4th, 5th vote for, and he will take sannyas on Ram Navami. Also some sensitive issues related to Narayan Maharaj, related to Paramgati Swami and Umapati Swami. With Narayan Maharaj, the unfortunate incident is that when the GBC committee went to see them, to see him, then that visit of the GBC, where they basically went to apologize, that at the time when some ISKCON devotees were getting involved with Narayan Maharaj, then the GBC made some action. But in that action, there was very little communication with Narayan Maharaj, very little or no communication with Narayan Maharaj. So the devotees felt that it would be appropriate to go and see Narayan Maharaj and, ask him pardon for that kind of Vaishnava etiquette, lack of Vaishnava etiquette. So then they did, but then later when that was done, then the devotees of Narayan Maharaj and Narayan Maharaj took it on himself as, a full excuse, and ISKCON should now become under Narayan Maharaj. So, and then statements were launched like, if you want money, go to ISKCON. If you want bhakti, come to me. And, things like that. So unfortunate, So now there will be some, the GBC is still, they are still working on that. There will be some, because some ISKCON devotees are getting confused, especially in areas where Narayan Maharaj is visiting. So there has to be made some clarity, because Narayan Maharaj is also, and especially his followers, is saying that Srila Prabhupada wanted him to train his disciples. And for that reason, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu is making a small booklet which exactly states all the conversations of Narayan Maharaj with Srila Prabhupada during his last visits in Mayapur. So that booklet will nicely explain every detail, word by word, what Prabhupada said, what Narayan Maharaj said. And that will also prove that there is no question that Narayan Maharaj should train or have any influence on the management of ISKCON. That's just a creation, So that will be put right in that sense to what exactly happened. Related to Umapati Swami, there were some unfortunate incidents in China between Umapati Swami and a number of devotees. Although it is like 8, 9, 10, 12 years ago, still some things were there, but they were not very much known. So then more recently an investigation was done where clear facts surfaced. So he has been asked to step down as sannyas and to not visit China and to not initiate anymore. So that was the situation for him. And then with Paramahansa Swami also, some, although compared to Mahapati Swami, much minor incidents were there. There were some incidents. So he also has been asked to step down as sannyas. And after 3 years, his situation will be reviewed. That's the... Then efforts are done with between GBC and BBT to come closer together, to understand exactly the relationship. As we know, Srila Prabhupada centralized the BBT and made it like a separate legal entity from the GBC, from ISKCON, you can say. At the same time, the only customer of the BBT is ISKCON, so there is a very but over the years there has grown some misunderstandings. So now there is a GBC committee and a BBT international committee who are coming together every year, spending time together and trying to work out, especially in the beginning, bring clarity. What did Srila Prabhupada exactly mean? How much is BBT independent from ISKCON? How much is it not independent, etc.? Is it just for legal sake, or is it also for other, are there also other reasons? So this is they're working on that also. And then some discussions on RGBs. RGB is a regional governing body, like India has an RGB, Europe has an RGB, America has an RGB, South America, Australasia. So there are different RGBs in the world. And so there was some proposal, which actually became a resolution, that let's say in an RGB there are 5 GBCs present, that there can be no resolution passed by an RGB unless the majority of GBCs present in the meeting agree to that proposal. So that was it was quite a lot of time was spent and is still going to be spent, because the Indian RGB has some difficulty with that resolution. They would like that all the members of the GBC, and amongst the members are the GBCs, whatever everybody together votes is final. They, you know, and of course they have reasons, and that needs to be worked out further. But the principle of that has been accepted for now, but also the promise has been made to have more discussions on this topic. Further, also has been established that every RGB should make a communications representative. And like in Europe, Mahaprabhu is the communications representative for Europe. So every RGB should have a communications office, an established office, and in principle subsidized by the RGB. And then there were further discussions on Mayapur, because now the construction of the temple started. It's the very beginning. They are putting 2,500 pilers. You know, like in Holland, they are very expert in that. You see them all the time, bang, bang, bang. And because the earth there needs that. In Wallonia, it's not so much needed because of the schist. But in Bengal, it's very much needed. So they put 2,500 pilers of 24 meters deep. They make holes with steel pipe, like 40 centimeter diameter. They make bang, 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 bang. Then they take it out. It comes out with the earth. And then you have a hole. And then that hole is filled with concrete and stainless steel bars. And these 2,500 pillars on that, the temple will be, there will be a slab of concrete will be made on these 2,500 pillars. And that will be, the temple will be built on that. It goes exactly from Prabhupada's Bhajan Kutir to the Lotus building, with a little space in between. And it will be a big kirtan hall without pillars. So it will be a big dome. I don't know how big the dome will be, maybe like the length of the castle in a circle, something like that. Could be the dome. I don't know exactly, but I speculate that it will be something like that size. Because there will be like, I think 5,000 people will be able to view the deities at the same time. So it's a big project, and and because of that, the management and the structure in Mayapur, also some things have to change. You know, it has to go from it's already a big temple, Mayapur, but still it's an international project, and there is international management needed. So Prabhupada Prabhu is working hard on that, because there are some small village type of management still in some ways, you know. I mean, in general, they are doing, you know, they did very great development, and you know, millions of people are visiting. But once the temple is built, this number of visitors will increase, and all kinds of facilities will be made. So there is also a team, because now the temple has been shifted from one place where it was going to be to in between the buildings now, that has been shifted from. So now a new master plan needs to be made also. And they have to start thinking of more facilities, guest houses, etc. In a very structured way, of course. Otherwise it comes. Because some outside parts of the Mayapur property, it looks a little bit like a small Manhattan. All kinds of buildings coming up there, you know, so much from each other. So it needs some input from and Prabhupada Prabhu, it's mainly his task to work on that together with the local GBCs there. So this was a synopsis of the meetings. Any question, any comment?
So if, for example, European Archdiocese agreed for some resolution, is this like for global resolutions?
No.
Just Europe?
Oh. Yeah, whatever are the global resolutions, automatically has to be followed by all the RGBs. But an RGB locally, they can make a resolution also. They make resolutions. So, yeah, it's not for the global, it's for
global resolution
supported
by all GBCs.
Well, GBCs, yeah. What is it?
So is this whole thing about Maharaj, is he making the statements, or the scholars making the statements, or both? Because sometimes the boys say they may not necessarily represent.
I think there is evidence that it is both. There is even like video clips which can be seen if somebody wants to see. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.